here today, I want to talk about the strength is equal to your days. The strength is equal to your days. Looking at Deuteronomy in 33 and verse 25, it says, as your days, so shall your strength be. There are three different versions, as I stated here, so that you can grapple with the differences a little here and a little there. But I just want to highlight to you these three different versions. The Living Bible puts it this way. He says, may your strength match the length of your days. I believe it doesn't require much elaboration. It is very clear. But if you look at the Amplified Bible, it says, as your days are, so will your strength, your rest, and security be. The NIV said it very direct. He says, your strength will equal your days. Your strength will equal your days. This is a high voltage scripture. In case you are not aware, it's going to change your life. Originally, this scripture was spoken to a man called Asher. Now, Asher is a man that you probably may not be very familiar with. He's one of the 12 tribes. He's not as famous as Peter, James, and John, and Paul. But Asher is a very, very important figure here because the promises that was given or that were given to him meant the Lord. And those promises can also mean for you and for me. I want to give you a little, very quick run-through of this man. He was first discovered in Genesis chapter 30, whereby Asher was mentioned the son of a mother called Zilpah and the eighth son of Jacob, which means Jacob had four wives and two of those were maids and one of the maids is called Zilpah. And with Zilpah, Asher was the second son. But he was the number eight among all the 12 tribes. Asher, however, was also known to be happy. The meaning behind that name is called happy. Asher's character is a very powerful character because he has the characteristics of coming down a situation. Anybody quarrels among the brothers, he will try to reconcile or be a peacemaker. Asher also discovered in Genesis chapter 49, where Jacob at his deathbed, he laid hand upon him and prayed. And this is what he prayed and blessed him prophetically. He says, Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. Under the prediction or the prophecy, the descendants of Asher will be food producers and their products will be the best in Israel. Wow. What a prophetic word. They are going to be the richest and the finest of food and drink. Then later on, as they were very much in Egypt and enslaved, Moses came into the scene and delivered them. And here we have another discovery of Asher's tribe in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses conducted a census and all the tribes were growing. Not all of them grew big, not all of them grew small, but they're all in the medium size growth. But Moses pronounced a blessing over Asher's life. And it was very much observed in Deuteronomy 33, and that's exactly where our focus will be. And in verse 24, he actually said to Asher, in fact, he used a superlative word, unlike the father who said that he will be happy, but he used a superlative word and said, most blessed of sons is Asher. Most blessed of sons is Asher. And Asher is known as the most blessed or the most happy one. And then he went on further and said that he will be favored by his brothers and let him bathe his feet in oil. This is not about petroleum. This is about olive oil. Moses was praying that Asher is going to grow olive groves and grape vineyards all over the hill of Asher. This prayer of a rich production of olive oil is going to be a blessing to the people of Israel. So there's going to be a rich production of olive oil as well. But Asher was spoken not only produces abundant oil or olive oil, but it's going to be a blessing to many nations. Moses did not stop there. He went on to say, the bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze. I often struggle with this verse, and I often wonder why suddenly the bolts of your gates. What has that got to do? And I found out some original words behind that, and I will share with you afterwards. But later on, he says, your strength will equal your days. So it was just right after that verse. And I often wonder, and I realize what Moses was saying is this, Asher's strength will be equal to all his challenges of his days. In other words, he says, Asher, you will have the strength you need to do as God assigns you. And he says, Asher, you will have strength to bear whatever you face each day of your life. And he didn't stop there. Moses went on. And in verse 26 and 27, he says this, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, which means God of the upright. He says, who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty, the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. And all of a sudden, the scripture stops there. Moses wrapped it up as the final message before he left the Mount Nebo and died in an unmarked grave. This was his final message. And that was the final word for Asher. And I find it very intriguing and very interesting. So I want to share with you soon. But Asher did not, his name was not only mentioned last in Moses' message, but he also was mentioned in Asher's descendant in Luke chapter 2. And you probably have read that not realizing who she was. That was 14 centuries later. Jesus was born. And Jesus' parents took him to the temple nearby Jerusalem. And there we have an elderly woman by the name of Anna. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, let me read along. He says this, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And now we have Asher's descendant, who is not only a prophet, but a proclaimer, a herald of Jesus' coming. We truly see Asher's life being blessed. Blessed by his own father, Jacob. Blessed by Moses when he laid hand upon him and pronounce him as the most blessed one. And Anna, the prophet or the prophetess, announced the coming or the first advent of the Messiah. And then I go back and realize Moses said a very promising word, your strength will be equal to your days. How Asher reached to the place where his descendants became a prophet, where his descendant became a blessing. All I could see right here is that his strength was equal to his days. And because of that, I want to take this great lesson for all of us. Your strength will equal to your days. Let me illustrate with this very simple code to help you to understand what this verse actually means. The first thing that the Bible said, your strength will be equal to your days, gives me another perspective of meaning here, is that the prospects of your life depends on the strength of your changed nature. Which means the prospects or the potentialities of what you can do and what you can achieve depends a lot on the changed nature of your life. What has been transformed, what has been worked out within us is going to reflect at the potentiality of what you can do in the future. Another code is called, the nature of your goal is very much dependent on the depth of your passion. In other words, the depth or the intensity of your desire is very much dependent on the depth of your passion for that goal. The more you grow in your passion, the more you grow deep inside you and being transformed and changed is going to affect what you do in the future. In other words, when life is not transformed and changed, what the prospects is going to be will be very dim. And that is what God said about Asher. But in a very promising way, Asher's blessing is something that you and I would love to have. He enjoyed the abundant life. And not only that, in all spiritual intention, this man was meant to bless others with his resources and his abundance. And apart from that, I want you to realize that he was also part of this declaration of the coming Messiah. I believe these three areas of Asher embraces all of us with a deep understanding in our spirit that we know this is something that we all have. In Jesus Christ, I have the abundant life. In Jesus Christ, I can be a blessing to somebody else. In Jesus Christ, I am called to proclaim His name. So I am Asher, and we all can be Asher. And the promises was very crucial. Your strength will be equal to your days. Listen, brothers and sisters, look at our days today. Look at our days. We are witnessing nonsensical situations of life. We are facing towering darkness everywhere we go. Our days are filled with fears. Our days are filled with lack of reserves. Our days sometimes can be filled with frustration because of an unachieved dreams. Sometimes people don't even have dreams. Our days have been led into anxiety. Some people call it bad days. Our days are also being very much faced up with unhealthy responses. People criticized and bad-mouthed over another person. We see ridicules and rage and anger. There are tensions, exasperated imagination in our days, catastrophe that we are witnessing in terms of the natural disasters. The more the enemy work to reduce your days is by robbing your strength away. If he can get hold of your strength, he will rob of your days. Are you with me today? He will reduce your days by reducing your strength. It is no wonder that many who succumb themselves to the enemy's schemes, we often ask, what kind of strength do we think we may have after that? What kind of strength? But everything must change today. Everything must change. Because Deuteronomy 33:25 tells me clearly, your strength is equal to your days. God's strength is sufficient for all assigned tasks that God has given to you and to me. If he has called you to do what you are doing, he will give you the exact strength that you need to do. Just for today, I want to draw your attention. With me, walk along and look at God's given strength for yourself and for me. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31, he says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. God's strength has the ability to increase something within us, though we may be considered weak. But he says those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Somebody say amen. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So today, the scripture says in Psalm 46, 1, says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. How many of you know there is hope? Somebody say amen. There is hope in every situation because God is available to give us all the strength we need for our daily work. Let me go with you through, first of all, in this passage. God's strength corresponds with the work. God's strength corresponds with the work. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Can I repeat that? The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine, in your daily work. Sometimes we work every day, we don't even know that every ounce and effort and wisdom that you put into your work is going to show forth the future of your life. When I first started the ministry way back in 1988, all that I could see was only my wife, expecting a child, myself, and three other adults. But every day I will work, I will lay hand upon the empty chairs, I will lay hand upon everything I could see and say, fill it up, Lord, fill it up. I said, lead me to the place that I can talk. And I will spend my time with all the storekeepers and meet up with them and befriend with them. I did that work. But the strain that God gave me was just to move on. I did not look at the five of us in the church, but I keep moving on. You see, friends, if God has given us a task, I don't know what your task is. I don't know what God has called you to do. You probably have some dreams. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. If you and I were to waste our strength and not use the strength of God for the task that God has given to us, then we will never see any achievement. The work is given. The strength is also given. We will never miss out the results of the work if we used all the strength we have. The strength is given by the grace of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The strength is given by the grace of God. The grace of God is sufficient for all of us. Therefore, the strength that God has given to you is to help you to improve your work, is to help you to excel in your work, is to help you to progress in your work. Everything that you put in by the strength of God given to you, even the wisdom is the part of God's strength for you to do all that you need to do. You see, Paul shared something. He talked about his dependency on God because of the sufficiency of God's grace. He in fact wrote and says, there is a thorn in my flesh. Please get that thorn in my flesh out of my life. Honestly, we don't even know what the thorn was until today. Somebody say the thorn could be his sickness. Somebody else say it could be his wife. I'm serious. Because you see, he's part of the Sanhedrin. Legally, when you're part of the Sanhedrin, by law, you should be married in order to be part of the Sanhedrin. So since he is part of the Sanhedrin, and then when he said that it's better to be single in one of the scripture, he was not referring just being single, but he was, because he was going through the process where God encountered him and gave him a new life. His wife wasn't happy. That's what the scholar says. And she wanted to dismiss him and get out of the family. And that is the reason why that could be the thorn in the flesh. So nobody knows. I'm not saying that just to undermine the wives. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But it was his situation, his condition at the time. So we do not know the thorn in the flesh. So let's not speculate that. However, he definitely wants to get rid of it. He definitely having a little bit struggle or so much struggle that he couldn't bear with it. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. He needed that strength to overcome so that he can pursue or prolong his work and his ministry. No wonder Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, Paul said, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Through him. God is our strength, and whenever he gives us a task, he will give us the strength. As a matter of fact, I want to show you 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 17. You know, when he wrote the letter to Timothy, he was going through a difficult time. Everybody deserted him. Demas deserted him. Some of them left him and they were not around. And so this was his situation. He says, but the Lord stood at my side, gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. He gave me strength to proclaim the good news. Whether somebody wants to listen or whether somebody wants to come, it doesn't matter. He said, God gave me the strength to preach the gospel. Gave me the strength to proclaim the good news. Everyone in the church of Jesus Christ, they are given the strength to proclaim the good news to the hearts of mankind. And here we are. Do we use that strength? Paul was very concerned about the kind of support that is given to him to declare the gospel. So true, your strength will be equal to your days. If that day is about my ministry, that day could be about me as a father, as a mother. That day could also be me as a worker, as a professor, whatever it may be. The strength is equal to your days. God's strength is right here. Somebody say amen. He's given to you no matter what your profession is. If you are a student, God has given you the strength to do your assignment, by the way. Don't say, I don't have time. God has given you enough time. Somebody say amen. There's no such thing as I don't have enough time. The reason why we don't have enough time because we sleep more than we do our work, right? So listen very carefully. God's strength is equal to your days. I do not know what your task is, but the real crucial part is, no matter what your task is, the strength is equal to your task. Every one of us has that. Secondly, God's strength is a portion to the needs. God's strength is a portion to our needs. How many of you here in this room would truly say that I do not have any needs? I believe with all my heart, every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what status we come from, we all have needs. We have needs for the family. When I was young and I had children, and I have needs about how to raise my kids, to not only for their education, but I have also thoughts about how to raise kids to fear the Lord. How? My wife and I, we will be sitting there, and for the past, you and I know, my eldest boy, Sean, is 29 now, and for the past years, we are thinking how to raise all of them up in the fear of the Lord. And sometimes we work and we try our utmost best. We do fail our kids because we did what we thought we know best. That was the best thing we know. But in their eyes, we fail. But that's all we know. Yes, we were firm, we were hard. But that's all we know. We know how to raise our kids the way we thought best. Isn't it true? We all have needs. How to raise our kids in the fear of the Lord. I don't believe that we send our kids every certain holidays. You can go for holidays. Nobody says you can't go for holidays. But when you're having a holiday, listen, when you're having a holiday, wherever you are, every Sunday, find a church and attend. Are you with me? Find a church. Don't teach your kids that Sunday is a day where you really don't go for church. Send them to the church. Even if you are in France or in Cuba, wherever you are, go for a holiday, but go and attend a service on Sunday. Celebrate the goodness of God. We all have needs. And when the children grow up, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, where are they going to go for their further studies? What are they going to do for their career? We have needs about friends. What sort of friends surround us? We have needs about our body. And as we grow older in our 50s and our 60s, our body starts to change. Am I right or not, Malcolm?
Just a little,
that's right. We all start to change. I just want to play soccer, but I can't. Every time I look at the ball, my reflex action is always slower and slower than everybody else. It's not the same anymore. Youngsters at the age of 20 plus, oh, they're vigorous. But when they reach 30-something, their games are slower. We have needs. We all have needs. Some of you have boyfriend, girlfriend needs. Which one to date? We have job needs. Which one to take and how to go about with it. And a more serious note, we have financial commitment, isn't it? We all have financial commitment. We all have needs. Be real with ourselves. Come on. Be real with ourselves. We all have needs. But because of these immeasurable needs, we need to connect ourselves with the strength of God. We cannot face our needs every day without God's strength. And the strength of the Lord is equal to your needs. No matter what your needs are, God's strength is equal for you to meet your needs. God's strength is equal for you to overcome your needs. God's strength is available. You know, God doesn't want us to be self-reliant. Oh, don't worry, Dad. Don't worry, Mom. Don't worry, Pastor. I can handle myself. Just because we think we are strong enough to handle one thing doesn't mean we can handle another. You know, God showed us the book of Judges, and there was a man called Gideon. The Lord said very clearly to him, He said, you have too many men. You have too many men. And then he went on and says, I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. And they will say, my own strength has saved me. And God reduced the number to face the multitudes of the Midianites and conquered them. And truly, they lift up their eyes and they know God gave the miracle. God did not want us to depend on our own resources. If we do, sometimes our resources dwindle so that we can learn to depend on Him. Scripture tells me in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. According to the work of God, the power that is working inside of me. And God is going to reveal and meet the needs of our life according to the power that is working inside of us. So friends, how much of God's work has been done in us so that our needs can be met. Our dependency is on God. We have read Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer was highlighted in the book of Matthew. But I want to show you very quickly that this prayer reveals to us how much we need to learn to be dependent on Him. First of all, He says the word, "Our Father." Our Father simply means only He alone can nourish and strengthen and support us or even maintain us. Henceforth, we are very much dependent on Him. The word "in heaven," that means He is not limited by what that limits us, because all things become possible in Him. There's the word "hallowed be your name." It simply means that you are called to set apart in your mind and in your heart that He alone be the only one in you. That's where your dependency comes. And there is another passage continuously from that prayer. "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Which means the Lord desires us to talk about God reign throughout our hearts. Why? So that when God reigns in our hearts, we will all spread the fact that we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Then He went on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Oh, listen to this. "Give us this day our daily bread." We acknowledge only God not only fulfill our spiritual needs, but our physical needs as well. Therefore, you need to be dependent on Him in that prayer. And then He went on to say, "Forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Do you know that our dependency on God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness is very much hinged onto your act of forgiveness unto others? If we do not forgive others, we will not receive the same forgiveness. And that is what the Lord shows us, that we are dependent on Him. And lastly but not least, He says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I'm sure that you will agree with me that our nature easily subject to temptation. Easily. And God has given us the strength so that we can stand against our adversary or any temptations that come into our lives. Do not deny and pretend that there is no temptation around us. There will be. There will be. And the Lord says in the prayer, "Lead us not unto temptation." It's an everyday event. And we pray because we are dependent on Him. Our natural being easily gravitates towards Satan, towards sin, towards the flesh. So brothers and sisters, we need God's strength. God's strength is equal to your needs. I do not know what your needs are, but the strength of God is available. It's equal to all the struggle and the needs that you have today. And thirdly, lastly, God's strength matches our challenges and demands. God's strength matches our challenges and demands. And I'm going to read again verse 26 to 27. And I want you to listen very carefully. Where Moses gave his final message and he wrapped it up. And this was the final message. He's telling us not to forget what is underneath of us, the everlasting arms. And this is what he says. "Your strength will equal your days. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides across the heavens to help you and on the cloud in His majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And then he wrapped it up as a final message for the nation of Israel. No more message for Moses after that. And I was concerned about the word days. The word days come from the Hebrew word or the root word to be hot. What he's saying, your strength will equal your hot days. Your strength will equal, in other words, my strength will be equal to all the challenges, the problems, the troubles, and all the heated environment that I'm in. And this is assurance that I have. God's strength is available in the midst of your challenges. I do not know what your challenge is. You may come home and say, Lord, I really do not know how to handle my problem. I really get very frustrated and angry, Lord. I just feel that, you know, I'm running out of strength. I'm running out of wisdom. But the Lord says, your strength is equal to your challenges. No matter how big, no matter how small they are, the strength of God is equal to your challenges. Moses said, Asher, your strength is equal to your hot days. Nehemiah, those of you who studied Nehemiah with me, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, he was building the wall of Jerusalem, and in the midst of it, the opposition tenaciously, without fail, they keep opposing him, challenges him, making it hard for him. And this is one of those events. Listen to the verse in verse 5. It says, then the fifth time, listen, the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, it is said this, and Geshem says, it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So, come, let us meet together. And this is what Nehemiah said. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your own head. And then verse 9 says this, listen. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will be too or get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. And this is what Nehemiah prayed. Now, strengthen my hands. In the midst of the challenge, he called out and prayed. The Bible says, I prayed, now strengthen my hand. I pray, God, my strength is equal to my challenges. Now strengthen my hands. We are meant to complete the wall, but now we are faced with the opposition. We are faced with the accusations as well. Brothers and sisters, the higher the mountain you go, the difficult it may be. Perhaps the difficult mountain you face could be a rebellious child. Perhaps a difficult mountain could be a medical diagnosis. Perhaps the difficult mountain could be the family problems. Perhaps it could be your job problem. These are the difficult challenges we face every time. But the Lord assures me very much that when I lift up my voice, I know the strength of God is equal to my challenges. There is no challenges too big for the Lord to handle. Somebody say amen. The Bible says there is no mountain too tall that he cannot overcome. Moses journeyed through the wilderness. And as they were journeying through the wilderness in Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, this is what it says. Yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did your sandals on your feet. So apparently, they were walking, and as they were walking, little did they realize, or consciously or unconsciously, they began to see, hey, my clothes seems to be okay. I was young, but now I'm older, my clothes are still there. My shoes can also grow with my feet. Wow. That is a very unusual miracle, isn't it true? Look, the guys in the wilderness doesn't need to spend much at all. They do not need to spend a cent because God did a miracle. The strength is equal to your challenges. And I said to you earlier, the word, the bolt of your gates, they are like bronze. I'm just wondering what that bolt actually means. So I tried to be a Hebrew scholar myself, which I'm not. I studied Greek but not Hebrew. But I went to all the necessary resources and I want to find out what this bolt, there's no relevant in the passage that I read. And then I found out that the root word, the word bolt, ma'na'el, is the same as the word shoe. In actual fact, Na'el is the direct translation for the word shoe. So they have similar root words. Ma'el, Ma'na'el, have the same word as Na'el. And if I look into it, apparently this is what most scholars believe and said. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, it carries the double meaning, bolt and shoes, which means Moses was saying, God is giving you iron shoes. For what? For the hilly terrain, for the mountainous area and territory that God is giving to you. You need iron shoes. You need strong shoes to move and walk on mountains. When you meet your challenges, you have the right pair of shoes to meet your challenges. And therefore, your journey, as is very much described, tells me that we all have different roads. Some of us will have muddy roads, some of us have rugged roads, and some of us have stony roads. And we walk all on different roads without the proper shoes. We will find it hard to walk according to this path. It will be a challenge to us. But the Lord said, I have given you, Asher, the iron shoes to walk on that journey, that when you face your challenge, you will be able to meet them. And then he went on to say, it is the Lord who arms me with his strength as we meet the challenges, and underneath his arms is going to lift me up and strengthen me and be my refuge of my life. One of the hardest things in life today as we meet our challenges is called accusations. And one of the another challenge that we meet today, as I see it among many folks, is cancer. Cancer is a sickness or a disease that has thrown people into a situation unexpectedly, causing fear, causing anxiety, causing pain. A testimony of a woman called Katrina. She lives in South Carolina. She got married and had children, but suddenly one day, she felt a strange sensation that's coming upon her body, and there was an extreme pain. Little did she realize that she was undergoing some numbness of the hands and feet. But then gradually, one day when they were at the airport, all of a sudden, she couldn't walk, she couldn't move. And he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And finally, she had to be confined in a wheelchair. And while she was there, she took time to think through. She says, my husband has to lift me out of bed into the bathroom It never got better, but I've learned to depend on Deuteronomy 33:25. Because all my days, so shall my strength be. I needed enough strength to live on. When I was just thinking through this testimony of Katrina, I remember one particular day. On Saturday, it's a group of our young people in Malaysia at that time. We normally play some volleyballs, and so we had some fun. And my wife had to go for a meeting, one of her child kindergarten school meeting, and they had a little bit of a celebration, and it was held in the hotel, Malaysian hotel. And all of a sudden, while we were in the midst of playing volleyball, my member drove the van, and because they took the church van and fetched all of them over there. And then suddenly fetch a van started to call out my name in desperation. Say, Pastor, Pastor, your wife is in trouble. And I just caught unaware and left the game. And where is my wife? My wife is in the van. And I saw my wife for the first time in that condition. It was because of food poisoning, lack of potassium. Her whole entire body was just straightened like as though it was a crippled woman. She couldn't bend her leg, neither could she bend her fingers or her hands. And I look at my wife, I know when she's in trouble. I'll tell you the trick, when you know when she's in trouble, she will bite her lips. I know that my wife is in trouble when she bites her lips. And she was. Her leg was straightened, can't even bend. Her hands were all straightened. And for that moment, split second, I do not know what to do. The only thing we know of is go to a doctor. Am I right? So we went. We went to nearby clinic. And guess what? I carried her with my bare hands. Wow. I carried her. Literally, thank God she's light. At that time, I'm not too sure what's her weight. I won't mention it. But I carried her out of desperation. All my adrenaline was all rushed in, and I had all the strength. And I carried her to the clinic. And the doctor says, I can't help her. And I put her in the van and drove to another clinic. And I carried her and quickly went to the reception. The doctor can't help her. And I said to the Lord, what am I going to do? I put her back in the van and I look at her. I was helpless. I prayed, God, give me all the strength I need right now. And I carried her and went to the specialist center. And I went to the specialist center. Her condition was so bad. The reception says, do you have insurance? And I said, yeah. I was lost, and I found out that my insurance that I just applied was in the process, so it was not even done yet. And he says, okay, never mind. Do you have $1,000 to place as a deposit? Man, my wife is in big trouble. You ask for $1,000? I want to kick the guy up. So my member says, never mind. I'll use my credit card. I'll put a $1,000 first. So I thank him for it. And finally, a doctor came. When we put my wife in the room, doctor came about an hour or so later. We don't even know her problem. We knew there was food poisoning. And she was laid there. She was put on drip and gradually helped her and subsided. So I, like I said, it was on Saturday. So I quickly called my assistant pastor and I said, get yourself ready to preach for Sunday service tomorrow morning because I'm in a hospital right now. And so I placed her, and the nurse was kind enough, gave me a little, a couch so that I can sit there and, you know, I can sleep through that evening with her just to make sure that she's okay. Thank God. My kids were young, but my mother-in-law was in the house. Thank God it was all very timely. My mother and my father-in-law was there. They can look after the kids while I was with my wife. And all of a sudden, I was laying down there, and I talked to my wife. She was much better now. She could talk. Earlier, she could not talk at all. And we discovered it was a very bad food poisoning. And I asked her, what did you take in the hotel? It was a hotel food. We do not know what actually happened, but she only took the sandwich and that's it. Done. Just one sandwich, her body just transformed into a stiff log. And so, finally, everything was okay. And I asked the doctor, when can she be discharged? I was like, you know, she just checked in. When can she be discharged? Tomorrow morning? Can she be discharged? And as I was just asking God, Lord, I'm not going to miss my Sunday service. I'm supposed to preach that day. I said, I'm not going to miss it. You give me all the strength to bring my wife here, and now everything is done. And Lord, help me. And I spoke to my wife. My wife said, you go ahead and preach, and leave me here. That was the night. But the next morning, apparently, the doctor said she can be discharged. She's okay. So thank God. Got back to the house, took my bath, changed, and went straight while they're in the midst of worship, like some of you come in the midst of worship. I went over in the midst of worship, and I was there, and I felt I needed some time alone with the Lord. I missed that worship. I want to worship the Lord. And I was just taking time, and God began to give me all the strength to preach the gospel. You know, brothers and sisters, His compassions never fail. His love never fails. They are always new every morning. Somebody say amen to that. Next slide, please. He says, therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, I was very much challenged. I do not know what to do, but inwardly, God was just giving me the strength after strength, to do all that I need to do. And believe that in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that tension, I can still go out and preach the gospel. That's exactly what the Lord placed in my heart. And I want to close with this scripture that many of you are very familiar with. It's not in the slide, but I want to read to you. It's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6 to 7. A very familiar verse that Joshua was constantly encouraged and strengthened by this very strong imperative word from the Lord. He says, be strong and be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God's strength is always equal to your days. No matter what work you have, no matter what your needs are, no matter what your challenges are, the strength of the Lord is always equal for those challenges. Believe it or not, Joshua was told, be strong and be courageous. And so he did. And meditate upon the word of the Lord. And finally cross over to the promised land and took over the land by the power of his strength. Somebody saying? Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.